Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. Oh, Kanye. Well, honestly, it doesn't matter at all whom he supports politically, but when a person with his star power starts saying stuff like this, there's a problem.
When you hear about slavery for 400 years, for 400 years, that sounds like a choice. Like, you was there for 400 years and it's all of y'all?
That was Kanye West in a TMZ interview on Tuesday saying slavery sounds like a choice. West later clarified on Twitter, saying he was talking about being mentally enslaved, African Americans being mentally enslaved. Now, it may not be an entirely fruitful exercise to try to peer into the mind of Kanye West to understand why he said that, but I'd say it's probably much more useful to try to understand the effect that this kind of pernicious historical revisionism has on our society as a whole. So that's why I'm really glad to bring in Leah Wright Regurer. She is a professor of modern African-American history at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. She's also author of The Loneliness of the Black Republican, Pragmatic Politics and the Pursuit of Power. Leah Wright Regurer, welcome back to Radio Boston.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
Now, you responded on Twitter to Kanye West's comments about slavery, and you wrote that him saying slavery was a choice is, quote, an ancient argument deployed in the past and present in defense of white supremacy. So tell us about that.
Right. And, you know, that was a constructive criticism coming from a person who has been a longtime fan and was deeply concerned that history is deeply concerned with the uses and the abuses of history. So I do think that this is a kind of common sentiment that we often hear tossed about. And it's not necessarily just by, you know, by celebrities, by Republicans or things like that, but that often even in casual conversations, you know, you'll hear sentiments like, well, if people had just tried harder, they could have overthrown their captors or their enslavers or something like that. The truth is that that completely misses the mark and completely misses kind of the concept or the idea or the actual system and violence of slavery as an institution. Now, there are a couple of different, a couple of different angles to get into this. But traditionally, and for a very, very long time, and it continues to be used in this way, the idea that black people, if they had worked a little harder, if they had been mentally strong enough, could have ended slavery much sooner is actually one that is meant or designed to encourage this idea that black people are responsible for their own condition.
Well, can I just jump in here? Because, yeah. I mean, that is pretty much what West said in his supposedly the clarification that he offered on Twitter after his TMZ comment, right? Because the full thing that he tweeted was, of course I know that slaves did not get shackled and put on a boat by free will. My point is for us to have stayed in that position, even though the numbers were on our side, means that we were mentally enslaved.
Right. And so it's this idea that the opposite of this, the mentally free, that had people been strong enough, if they had had the willpower, they had had the mental fortitude, that they could have tossed off their chains and had their freedom. It ignores the reality of slavery, the institution, that peculiar institution of slavery, and the lengths that people went, that communities went, that corporations went, that slave owners went to create those communities. It also puts all onus and all responsibility on African Americans for their own condition.
Yeah.
So it suggests that, you know, if you are, you know, if you are unequal, if you are separate, or if you are oppressed, that's your own fault for not trying hard enough.
You know, I mean, I just want to jump in here for a second, because all of a sudden I'm thinking, as you were saying, it ignores the profound legal and institutional and societal systems that were set up around enforcing slavery in the South and even in the North, right? Because I'm thinking about the Anthony Burns case right here in Massachusetts, an African-American man who arrived in Massachusetts who was forcibly returned to the South due to the Fugitive Slave Act. How much more mentally free could he have been? He was here in Massachusetts in an attempt to be free, and yet he was taken back to the South.
Right. It also, I think, suggests that African Americans who survived slavery, who lived through slavery, who persisted in spite of slavery, are somehow less than. Right? So it's completely devoid of history. It's completely devoid of context, of substance. It's kind of a flippant, almost a flippant statement, even as it suggests that it's about power. The other side of it is that it's not an accurate statement.
Right.
We know that African Americans resisted every single step of the way, that in fact, this is one of the remarkable things about that period and is a testament actually to just how invasive and how strong these institutions and the will to kind of suppress any kind of rebellion was. I mean, we know that there was violent rebellion. We know that slaves went to great lengths, escaping their captors. We know that they resisted in subversive ways, whether it be, putting something in people's food, or whether it be through something else like learning to read on your own, or, forming their own African-inspired churches or religions or practices. Mm-hmm. So there are any number of ways that African-Americans resisted in spite of slavery. But then also, too, it is enough. It is simply enough to say that slavery happened and that people experienced it. And that doesn't make them less than weak, right? Or, inferior.
Right. Can I just jump in here? Because I want to play a little bit more from the TMZ interview where Kanye West first made his comments. And this is a moment where TMZ staffer Van Lathan actually confronted Kanye West and said that he was appalled by West's remarks.
Kanye, you're entitled to your opinion. You're entitled to believe whatever you want. But there is fact and real world, real life consequence behind everything that you just said. And while you are making music and being an artist and living the life that you've earned by being a genius, the rest of us in society have to deal with these threats to our lives. We have to deal with the marginalization that has come from the 400 years of slavery that you said for our people was a choice.
Now, Leo Wright-Ruger, on the one hand, one could possibly ignore Kanye West's comments as just Kanye being kind of crazy Kanye. He's an addled celebrity, whatever. But on the other hand, I mean, do you see that there being more serious consequences for someone like Kanye West to say what he did?
So for Kanye, I think there's been an immediate, there was almost immediately after the slavery comments in particular, a backlash amongst his fan base, particularly his black fan base, who were deeply hurt, deeply upset by his comments, which felt out of touch, and also felt like they were working in working to do active harm to the positionality of African Americans who have really fought back against these kind of pernicious stereotypes of them being solely responsible for their own condition. I think one of the things that we see in this kind of pushback and this challenging of Kanye amongst a wider community and the ideas that it introduces is that African Americans are essentially saying, these are not novel or groundbreaking ideas. These are ideas that we have had hurled at us, that we have, debated within our own homes, that have been used against us for decades, longer than that, since we have arrived on this, arrived in the United States against our will. And so I think this is what all of this is really tapping into. I think the producer for TMZ really captured that sentiment and spoke to this idea of, Kanye's articulating these ideas that he says, either are harmless or made in love. But actually, the deep concern is that these are arguments that often are made, are often weaponizing ideas to use against African-Americans.
Yeah. So we've just got just less than a minute here to go, Leah Wright-Ruger. I have one last question. I'm wondering what you think the larger political consequences might be. Now, because last week, before Kanye West made his comments about slavery, but he was posting, him wearing a Make America Great hat again. The president retweeted that and said, Kanye West has performed a great service to the black community. What's your response to that?
So, you know, Kanye was quite defensive about the idea, has been quite defensive about the idea that he's getting attacked simply for meeting with Donald Trump. And that's not why he's getting challenged or why he's getting criticized. He has every single, you know, every right to meet with Donald Trump if he wants. A number of celebrities and athletes and artists and entertainers have done that across the ideological spectrum. What people are reacting to is Kanye uncritically embracing Trump and then echoing and really advancing ideas that are seen as harmful to African Americans. Yeah. That's the crux of the argument.
Well, Leah Wright Rigueur is a professor of modern African American history at Harvard's Kennedy School of Government. She's also author of The Loneliness of the Black Republican, Pragmatic Politics and the Pursuit of Power. Leah Wright Rigueur, it's always terrific to talk with you. Promise to come back sometime soon?
Oh, I promise, as long as you'll have me back.
Absolutely. Thanks again.
Thank you.
I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.